Hi there, listener. It's Matthew. You've come looking for an episode of the Children's Book Podcast, and you've found it. Hooray! But you're probably wondering why the name of the podcast has changed. After 8 years of doing the Children's Book Podcast, I began a new career as head of podcasts at A Kids Company About, where I now oversee a podcast network dedicated to producing original content that talks up to kids, centers the things going on in their world, and engages and challenges how they see the world and themselves. All of the episodes of the Children's Book Podcast are still here, but now, if you're subscribed, you'll get new episodes of Worth Noting, a kids podcast about current events, hosted by me. Something for you and the young people in your life to enjoy together. Enjoy this episode, and I hope you'll check out Worth Noting and other podcasts from A Kids Company About. Meet Deborah Friedman, illustrator, author, situationally shy individual. Welcome to All the Wonders, the Children's Book Podcast. I'm Matthew Winner. This is episode number 291 of the podcast with Deborah Friedman, author, illustrator, most recently of Shy, a story about a character who hears the beautiful song of a bird, but is too shy at first to come out from his home in the gutter of the book to investigate the source of the song more closely. Debbie has written many beautiful books, and I'm sort of fascinated about how they all, in some way, tie back to the art of telling a story through a book. We spend most of our time talking about Shy and the decisions she made in designing the story just so, in order to hold the reader's attention, yet hold the reader from seeing the main character throughout most of the book. It is a balance of tension and restraint, and the execution is quite lovely. I can't wait for you to see for yourself. Here's episode number 291 of the podcast with Deborah Friedman. Welcome back to the podcast, Debbie Friedman. It's been too long.
Hi, Matthew. It's nice to talk to you again.
Debbie, it's been like 200 episodes too long.
200 episodes. I know. I am so proud that I was there at the beginning, Matthew. I really am.
Well, I'm proud that we've had a connection and that I've got to watch your career, I feel like. I've known you since Blue Chicken, but I've been there online celebrating along with hundreds of other people celebrating you.
Yeah.
But it's been a lot of fun. It's been a whole lot of fun. So I'm glad that we've sort of been in this together in a way.
Yeah, it's nice to finally talk again.
How's life been?
It's been good.
Has the children's literature community been good to you?
Yeah, you know, things are kind of quiet now. It's funny because, you know, I have this book. Well, as we're talking, I have this book coming out in 2 weeks, but it just feels like nothing's happening because I finished it such a long, long time ago.
Yeah, but you've been here before where it's the quiet before it comes out, right? Because
things
feel all crazy when it comes out.
Well, it's funny because I'm sitting here feeling like nothing's happening. Oh. Nobody likes my book.
No.
And I go, oh, yeah, it's not actually out yet. So I don't know. We'll see.
You have a book coming out. It's such a great time because it's the start of the school year. So there's a chance for this book to find classes full of readers early on and then just spring up over and over and over again throughout the year. And I think, you know, we talk about Shy. I should say your new book is called Shy.
Oh, yes. By the way.
Let me acknowledge that there are people that do listen to this. It's not just you and me.
It's not the two of us having a chat, right?
It is, but it's not.
Right.
Well, here, let me back up and just give you a chance, Debbie, to talk about your book. Why don't you tell the people listening, Shy, what is Shy? How are you planning to talk about this book to other people?
Well, I always feel like I should be better prepared to answer that than I am. But
the good news is everybody says that, really. It's okay.
I know, talking about one's own book, it's always kind of awkward. But Shy is about a character who is shy and named Shy and is almost too shy to appear in his own book. And then one day a bird flies by and he falls in love with the sound of her voice. And so he finally comes out. But one of the fun things I had with this book is that when Shy does finally emerge, come out into the book, there are so many animals that the reader won't know who Shy is until the end. Right. So there's a little bit of a mystery there too, in addition to the friend story between Shy and the bird. So that's Shy.
I like this, Deborah. I like that there's that there. Well, I think you handle it in such a way that we know there's a character here, but to have a character emerge from the gutter, to be hiding in the book, deep in there, and to have, I mean, for me, how beautiful it is to have a song be what calls the character out, that bird song. I just think that's so, there's so much here that, maybe it's also that I'm thinking about the beginning of the school year, and I'm thinking about these new kids that we have, not just my kindergartners, who some are shy and some are the most outgoing they will ever be in their entire life in the first week of school. but you do always get kids that come in that are shy, that are quiet, that are, that's just their MO.
Well, that's something I always notice when I do school visits. And you know, most often I'm doing these assemblies and their children kind of file in, and I try to warm myself up by chatting with them as they're coming in. And there are always these kids who look at you with these big eyes and they can't say a word. You ask them a question even and they just are too shy to say a word. And so when I first started doing school visits, I thought, well, how can I warm these kids up? And I finally started asking, is anyone here shy? And then, you know, maybe a couple kids would raise their hands, but usually shy kids would be afraid to raise their hands. So I'd say, really, is no one here ever shy? You know, when you start in a new school or just meet a new person, are you ever shy just once in a while? And then like a few more hands go up. And then I ask the kids, is anyone here too shy to raise their hands? And then this crazy thing happens where half the kids raise their hands, or maybe even all the kids raise their hands, and they're all seeing each other that, hey, I'm not the only one here who feels this way. And this is something I started doing several years ago before I started working on this book, but it was definitely in my mind when I was working on the book, that there are these kids in the classroom who are just really, really quiet and never open their mouths.
Yeah, but look at the way you get them to open their mouths is what you are doing in front of them, and what this book does in that way too, that you're creating a safe place for them to come out and see that it's still safe, and it's still safe, and it's still safe.
Well, I hope that's what the book does. That's certainly what I want the book to do.
I think the book does that. It does that for me.
Oh, yay.
It does it for me. And right now, that's the only person that matters because it's just you and me.
Right.
There's a lot of design choices that went into this book. I can tell that all speak to Shy. And the one thing I want to call out that I love about you, and not to make you have a thing, but it is a thing that I really love deeply about you. So it's going to be a thing for me, and I like it. But I like that your stories, you return over and over, it seems, in your storytelling, to have characters that are a part of a book that are in a situation when reading a story that it often allows the reader to also be a character in the story, be a part of the story, not just an observer, but to, in some cases, because of the perspective that you're, that you deliver in the illustration, it allows us to look at the thing that we're holding in a different way. And I like that. I like that when I read your books, I can tell that you're a person that story and the story that we're holding means a whole lot to you.
Oh, well, it's really nice to hear you say that, and I like the way you articulated that because I really do want to invite the reader into the book. People have said it's like the characters are popping out of the book, but what I wanted to work both ways.
Good.
For
well,
sure.
I think that it's nice when the reader can feel not just that it's popping out at you, because we've got all these great apps and things that allow for 3D technology and look, they're
right,
really coming
right.
out. But
yeah.
Also that, I mean, the idea of a good book, of any good book, when when you're reading as an adult or reading as a child, is still that notion of losing yourself.
Mm-hmm.
One of the moments, maybe the quietest moment in your entire book, is the one that I love the most. And this is the quietest moment I think I've seen in any of your books. But to be fair, this is the quietest book you have.
Yeah, well, for sure. I was going to say it's definitely my quietest book.
But I want to read an excerpt from the book, if you don't mind. And I'm not going to give away this story. I think there's something really beautiful here to know that this is a story where there's a character that's hiding but does come out, but to also then not give that away, to allow a reader to experience that for themselves.
I appreciate that.
Of course.
Thank you. No spoilers.
No,
yeah.
but I would like to read an excerpt from toward the middle half or end half of the book to give a sense of the feelings that we're talking about here. Would you mind if I read to you?
Oh,
is
I would love
okay?
it. Sure.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
So, we're talking about Shy has seen this bird. There's a bird that, as you said, calls Shy out of his home, in wherever his home is in the gutter of the book, to come out and see. So this is talking about the bird, and then I'll read into just this scene here. She sparkled just like the sun and the sea. Shy had never imagined the world was so grand. Perhaps one day he would try to see more. With the bird, Shy thought, he could go anywhere. But, of course, he would have to speak to her first. Shy took a deep breath. His heart thumped. He looked up, but he could no longer find her. The bird was gone. Broken-hearted, Shy went home. And what the readers will experience when they pick up this book, when you all of you go to a library, a bookstore, and see it, is that on those three spreads that I read to you, the sun is setting. It's getting darker. All of the animals that are around are now going home. And we close, that page closes, much like it opens, the story opens with these footprints that just lead us back into the gutter and then don't appear on the next page. So we know that Shy is somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
That design choice, Deborah, I mean, it's one of, when this happens, I'm gonna throw around some words that I hope you and everyone else don't think are cliche, but it's brilliant to me. It's a brilliant idea that you have a character living inside that book, and we haven't seen that in a story before. And the way you solve that problem, because I know that was a problem at some point that you had to have asked, how do I communicate that there's a character living in there? To do it with footprints? Come on, that's amazing.
Well, thank you very much, Matthew. Wow. Yeah, that was challenging. To how do you convey that the character's in there in the first place? How do you pull off leaving him in there for such a long time?
Right.
And getting him out and getting him back in. Yeah.
When this story came to you, you said that you had been talking to children and asking them to raise their hands if they really are shy or are too shy to raise your hand. So where was that the seed for this story, or where How did this story develop? Can you remember back to when it was, before it was this book?
Well, I told you the story about the shy kids, but really, I don't know, all my books, I tend to start with a concept, a more cerebral concept, which is not something I recommend. It's kind of just a backwards way of starting. But, you know my books, you know me. I like to start with this notion of the book.
Right.
A lot of times. And what could you do with a book? And so this idea of playing with the gutter was in my head for years, probably. And then something, you know, it was partly the school visits and other things, starting to think about it again. I started to think about, well, what if I had a character hiding in the gutter of the book? That would be a cool thing to do. But, you know, but then who is this character? And why is he in the gutter? You know, is he hiding from something? There are a million reasons a character could be in the gutter. But I finally thought, well, he's shy. He's too shy to come out. So that was the seed of it. And then, and then I'm just playing games with myself. Like, how long could I leave the character in the gutter for the whole book? And then the answer to that was pretty much no, I couldn't do that, because then nothing would happen.
Right. We had to see
I had to bring him out.
The character. Yeah.
Well, I had to bring him out, but then I managed, you know, over the course of working on this, it was like, I could bring him out and still have you not know till the end who he was. So that's kind of just this sort of abstract way of thinking is what got it going. And, I worked on it for a really long time with my editor, but the essential story was always there. It was Shy was in the gutter, the bird, you know, he flew by and sang, and that was always there from the beginning. And the first line was always there from the beginning.
Really?
Yeah.
Read that first line. I'm gonna have everyone hear it. Shy was happiest between the pages of a book. The one time that you have an arrow pointing to Shy. The thinnest of arrows, the most unassuming of arrows pointing to Shy.
I kind of needed it.
I like that Shy's stack of books sit outside of where Shy is. So it's sort of, we know that Shy must come out. We know that Shy loves books, so Shy must come out to read these books, but just not when we get to see Shy. Your play with colors in this story, everything is so soft in your illustration. The color, the lighting is so soft, the texture of the background is just, it feels like it was just like rubbed on. And you excel at using watercolor, but how did you pull off the quality of this just sort of fading on one thing to another?
Well, I do things by hand, and then I use Photoshop to pull things together. So with this, I did lots of watercolor washes, and then in places I layered them over each other.
Oh, good. Okay.
And that's what I did. And
it makes a nice blend seeing from one thing into the other. And it does have that feeling of, I don't know that I can do this in art class. It wouldn't come out this way.
I don't know. I mean, you can. It's the main reason I use Photoshop is that it gives me flexibility, and it's just easier for me. So washes can be pretty tricky to do at this scale and get those, you know, nice blended colors and all. So it's just a good tool. But it was fun working on this art because, like you said, it's my quietest book. It's a lot quieter than my other books. And I really always wanted to do art like this, but it's the first time I had a quiet story that, you know, this kind of art lent itself to the story. So it was fun to be able to, I really enjoyed doing this book a lot.
Well, I'm glad that this book exists for that reason, that we don't often have a lot of quiet books in the library. I guess when I tend to think about it, they tend to be characters that are a little louder, they're a little sillier. Humor is a big deal for young readers. But every once in a while, those quiet books are so nice because they're books that, I mean, this is a book when I read it, I'm back with students. I know that this is a book that when I read it, I don't need to raise my voice at all to project it. The performance of this story is to read it in a voice that the children will lean in. Because in that way, they'll be leaning in toward Shai's home, if you want to be literal about it. But they'll be leaning in toward the pages to, I mean, I think they're also going to be quiet reading this because there's a quality you pick up on right away, I think, in your text. And just, again, those soft washes of your colors. All that is working toward an emotion that feels like, I want to be gentle as a reader with this book because I don't want to do anything that would scare this character away. I want to make it safe for the character, too.
Oh, I love that. I wish I could hear you read it to your kids. I never get to hear other people read my books. I always have to read them myself.
Let's do a Skype. Let's do an author Skype, and I'll read to you.
That sounds good to me.
We're going to connect with Debbie Friedman, and we are going to read to her.
I know. Like, why do I always have to read the book?
Well, there is, you know, I think about this a lot, probably because it's something that fascinates me with all the guests that I get to talk to. But you were saying about not knowing quite how to talk about the book yet because you haven't been out there with the book very much yet.
Right,
and I think, too, about other people that say when that book is out in the world, it sort of becomes something different. And that makes me think of when other people read your book, you hear different things because they read it differently than the way that you wrote it. I mean, it's why when you are in a critique group, you ask other people to read your story, because when you write a story, you're so in your head. I statements. When I write stories, I'm so in my head that I need to hear how other people read it, because the way that you write the story, the way that you phrase things, there are ways that you can pace the way that we will ultimately read,
But you can't have total control.
There has to be room for the reader to have a stake in it too. The author and illustrator have a stake, but then there's a point where the reader has to have a stake in it.
Yeah. Well, it's an exciting and nervous making time right before a book comes out, because the exciting thing is that you know that once the book's out there, it's not just the reading aloud of it, but the what it's going to mean to different people. It just takes on a life of its own, and it's just not yours anymore. It's in a good way. That's one of the things I've learned having my books go out in the world from all you guys and who read it and share what you think. It's really cool to see what happens to a book once it's out in the world.
I think too, and this is something that we often don't get to see, but we shouldn't. It should be something just for you. But I think about how this book will reach your readers in a different way, and what that will mean for some of your school visits or your when you're doing book signings. Mm-hmm. And you have that chance to meet individual students, when you have that quiet moment, if you will, even if it's a line of people, you still get those moments with the individual. To be able to see the people that you're autographing the book for, to be able to see them and know that this book is serving them in a special way is...
Yeah, it's interesting thinking about going out with this book, because it doesn't feel like... You're so right. I hadn't really thought about that. It's the book you want to talk to individual children about. I had so much fun going to schools with By Mouse and Frog.
That was so much
fun to read aloud to giant assemblies of kids. Shy, I'm thinking, I don't know.
See, By Mouse and Frog is a story that lends itself, I think, better than any of your others. It lends itself to reader's theater because both of the characters are like very present in that story. Blue Chicken, all of your books have like different serves in different ways. I feel like Blue Chicken is the one that tells us to be messy with art and that it's okay. It's a beautiful thing. It's like that book by Barry Salzberg, they wrote that book, Beautiful Oops.
Beautiful Oops, yep.
Yeah, that same kind of feeling that splash things around, make things messy. There's discovery and play in there. And Fish and Snail is such a story of friendship. And to know that you have this opportunity in publishing, that your career so far has been really to reach people in so many different ways, to engage your readers in so many different ways through your books and also through the books that are in your books. It's cool. You're getting like, you're getting like double traction with the books.
I know, right? You know, every time I say I'm not going to do that again, I'm not going to do it again, and then I do. I don't know. What can I say?
Doesn't that just tell you, though, that it's because there's still those stories in you that need to come out? Like, I feel I like guess. That quality of writing is that the stories are all there, but the ones that we pull out of the ether are, you know, there's still some more for you that are involving stories.
I guess. I hope I'm not beating it to death. It's like just the way my brain works. I feel like I keep writing the same book over and over again.
I love, for me, how ridiculous and wonderful the statement is that you hope you're not beating it to death doing that over and over. And yet this book that you have, this book that you have, I think will connect with the audience that it finds, when it finds its readers, because every book has to find its own readers. When this book finds its readers, I think this book will connect more deeply because of the nature of the story than any of your other stories have. And it'll be really cool. And that in that same way that, like, I've got students.
We'll see.
I've got students that they're not my loudest and they're not my what most present in the classroom.
Yeah.
They don't have the most presence, maybe I should say.
Right.
But they're the ones
ones whose hands shoot up before they even know what they want to say.
You
know. Those, right?
But there are the students that you think about for years and you just kind of do. And you just think about them. And this is a story I feel like is one that I, for one, will be thinking about for a long, long time. I mean, since I first read I first read it at TLA last year. Viking had it at their booth.
Uh-huh.
And I've in that way carried Shy around with me ever since. That story's just been on my mind. And no author, I think, can intentionally do that. It's just that's sort of what happens when the book finds the reader.
Well, I hope it finds its readers. I know that it feels like a different book for me from my other books, and I feel like my heart is really in this one. So
is this you? You know, are you shy?
Was shy as a child. Yeah. I wouldn't say that I'm incredibly shy now. I'm an introvert. I definitely love being with my people, but I also like being alone and writing, you know.
Yeah.
You kind of have to be, I think, to do what we authors and illustrators do. We have to spend hours alone. But you know, I'm situationally shy, you know. I'm feeling shy about sending this book out into the world. It's like, this is my baby, Shy. You know, he's starting kindergarten. Please be kind.
That's right. If you don't have anything nice to say, please don't say it at all.
So, yeah, you know, I'm shy at times. But not, I think shyness is in some way something that we grow up out of a little bit as, you know, you gain confidence in yourself when you get older. But, you know, definitely as a young child, I was shy. I was one of your quiet kids, Matthew. Definitely one of your quiet kids.
So the thing about shy kids that I've learned over 12 years of teaching is that their shy kids tend to be the ones that have the most to say, but you need to do the work of not. It's so easy in classes where there are loud kids, whatever, the outspoken kids, whatever's the opposite of shy, that it's very easy for the attention to be monopolized that direction.
Mm-hmm.
But those shy kids, I mean, it's everything is special. Let me just put it that way. Everything about every kid is special, but I experience, we all experience books differently because we all have different experiences in life. And, you know, you put in yourself to a book when you read it, the same way that you have put into yourself writing this book. And when I read it, I get out, I know Deborah Friedman when I read this book. And I know you better because I knew Deborah Friedman from Blue Chicken, and I knew you from Fish and Snail, and I knew you from the, what was the Scribble one, the first one that you had? I have a copy of the Scribble one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you from these things. But now I know you from Shy. And it's how we get to know you. And that's a special thing. I mean, I think about the whole reason one of the reasons why I started this podcast was because I feel sincerely that knowing the person behind these books helps us know the person to invite into our schools, because different people are right for different people. Mm-hmm. And the frequency that you put out, Deborah, is one that that feels playful and quiet and feels like you're a person that, not even that you need to get to know you, but just that I don't need to worry about, I feel like you're a person that I don't need to worry about being shy when I meet you. If and when that ever happens. Not, you won't be overpowering.
It better happen.
I won't get nervous around you as much as I might maybe feel intimidated around other people. And I just bring that back to those children, because the readers that you write for, and the readers that'll find this book, there are those readers that, that there are personalities and there are books that'll be too loud for them, and it'll be overwhelming just to think about coming up and saying hi to that author. But then there are authors who create the safe space that you have in Shy, that, that they're going to really feel at home with you.
Well, thank you. I really love the way you put that, safe space. I like thinking about it that way.
You know, I think that what I'm going through, Deborah, to be really not egocentric. Lord, I hope that's not the word for this. But what I feel is I feel a lot of me in this story, too. I feel like there are books that come around every once in a while that I feel like, wow, this book really gets me. And perhaps the last time that happened as deeply as Shy with me was Lauren Long's Little Tree. That was one that I really felt like, wow, this person, we would probably get along really well, because I feel like I have this feeling.
And well, so, that's like the nicest thing you could say. I mean, because I want to do with these books is connect to children and other readers, you know, that's all you can hope for.
That's clear. It's apparent. It's apparent that that is what you're trying to do. And so I think that that means that it's time for me to ask you my closing question, because I want to give you that last word, and I want to end on our readers. And I hope that the people that find this book find that it's the just right book for them. I hope that those shy kids find this book. And more importantly, I hope that everyone that reads this book, especially those librarians, that we librarians help the readers that are these shy children see this book and perhaps see themselves in this story. So I'm going to ask you, I'm going to see a library full of children tomorrow morning. Maybe you will too. We'll see. We'll see. Debbie, what message would you like for me to bring to them from you?
Well, following up on what you've been saying, I feel like what I always tell kids when I go to schools is my stories aren't true. The stories I tell are not true, but the feelings in them are true. And I think they're feelings we've all had. And I think kids shouldn't be shy about putting their real feelings into their stories that they're writing and getting them out of the books that they read.
This podcast is recorded and produced by me, Matthew Winner, in my library studio in Ellicott City, Maryland. You can subscribe to the podcast and access the archive of over 250 episodes at All the Wonders, a home for readers to discover new books and to experience the stories they love in wondrous ways. Go beyond the book at allthewonders.com and check out other podcasts from All the Wonders, including the Picture Booking Podcast with Nick Patton, a semi-weekly podcast about picture books and the people who make them. Our theme music is by Emily Arrow. All views and opinions expressed on the show are those of the individuals, myself included, and do not reflect ideas or viewpoints of the publishers of the books referenced. Listeners, if the episode connected with you, I'd love to hear it. Leave a comment on allthewonders.com or rate this podcast on iTunes or Stitcher through stars or reviews. Sharing the podcast with friends through Facebook and Twitter, word of mouth, or any other means helps reach more listeners, which leads to more content and more amazing guests. And that's a very good thing indeed. Coming up on the podcast, Adam Gidwitz joins me to talk about The Inquisitor's Tale, a novel I'd consider mandatory reading for both middle grade readers and adults. Just so good. See you then, and thanks for listening. We know you value what you put in front of your kids, especially when it comes to screens and podcasts. That's why we're excited to share a new podcast from our friends at Sleepiest, creating bedtime stories to help your kids fall asleep fast.
Hello, Abby here. If you've got children and find bedtime's a struggle, I'd like to tell you about Coco Sleep, a children's story podcast designed to make bedtime a dream. Coco Sleep turns a chaotic bedtime into cozy bonding time. The stories are delivered in a pace that gently slows. Rumour has it that no one's ever heard an ending. So search Coco Sleep on your favourite podcast app and let's make bedtime a dream. That's K-O-K-O Sleep, and I'll see you there.